This is FM 95.7 KQWC Webster City. Time now for our Community Quarter Show for this Tuesday morning. And last night, another city council meeting was held at City Hall downtown. Very brief meeting as I was sitting at home watching it. Joining me this morning, we have John Herrenstein, the city manager for the city of Webster City. John, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Powers. It's always a pleasure to be out here.
Well, glad to be with you this morning. Yes. So, kind of a brief meeting last night.
The efficiency of government, right? We can get things done quickly. There really wasn't a lot on the agenda. We had some cleanup with some change orders on the projects that are still being finished up. Brewer Wilson and Fair Meadow. Those residents can't anticipate up by the middle school, weather pending. We're supposed to be paving that this week. And then all of the residents over on Kathy Lane, over by Trinity Lutheran, on Madsen, Woolsey, Elm, and Walnut should be next. And then our friends on Fair Meadow 2, who have been, you know, so very brave this summer and suffering
yes.
through the road construction,
right?
They will be the last to get done as they're finishing up the stormwater pipe on that project right mm-hmm. now.
You mentioned the middle school, don't you mean, is it... Pleasant View.
You are correct.
Pleasant View.
Pleasant View Elementary, yes. Sorry, I mentioned the middle school. Yeah. I've got kids at both, so I probably get confused.
Yeah, so Pleasant View, there will be an area closed, I believe, this coming Friday, the 24th, because of work, so the city sent out information about that on Monday.
Yeah, no, so pickup will take place on, what is that, Friday?
Yes,
is it
Friday. Friday the 24th.
So pickup on Friday will take place on Des Moines Street. So the folks will be coming over by where the buses are.
Right.
And but drop off will remain the same.
Okay, so that's coming up on Friday the 24th. And information is also on our Facebook page for KQWC for yes. the work to be done around the Pleasant View School area there on South Wilson Avenue in Webster City.
Yes. The other item that we talked about on the agenda last night was the expansion of the Riverview Urban Renewal Area.
Yes, that was a big discussion last yeah. night, which you presented, John.
Yep, so the Riverview Urban Renewal Area was established in 1986. Around that time, Frigidaire was expanding, and I think they were acquiring property in that area, Pat. You probably remember that those times. But
yes, and sadly, John, that the Frigidaire closed its doors back in 2011.
Yeah, right. And so that area is urban renewal area, and it collects a tax increment. Right now,
right.
it's approximately $100,000 a year. As time has passed, the goals of urban revitalization, which is repairing blighted property, creating vibrant areas, ensuring infrastructure and transportation, have expanded outside of the boundaries of the original district. And so we added a considerable portion to property in the community that is also in need of some attention in that manner. And we're hopeful that with the construction of the new Quick Trip, there'll be an additional increment created, probably another $150,000. And we have three programs we're going to utilize that money for. The first is our overall nuisance abatement and upkeep program, which is addressing vacant and abandoned homes in town. The second is downtown revitalization, trying to find some funds for that because there really aren't within the city coffers many funds for downtown revitalization. And then third, any administrative and legal support that we need in those processes, engineering, professional services, things like that.
John, will this money also help out with the work that's going on some vacant buildings in Webster City, what with the former Coulter facility with the barricade still there and that other barricade
yep.
just down the street?
Yeah, funds, the downtown revitalization portion of the plan specifically calls out for year one, 400, 500, 600, and 700 blocks of 2nd Street. So yes, funds for those could be utilized to assist revitalization of those properties and get those barricades out of there.
Yeah, that's been about 6 months, I think, now.
It's a long time. Unfortunately, you know, we have these structural reports that indicate, you know, the buildings that have the barricades are in structural need. the city finds itself in a tough spot. You might reference, you know, what happened in Davenport or Dubuque.
Last year,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was, maybe I remember, I believe it was in Davenport.
Yeah, they had a building collapse, and the city had known about it. And
so I know where I was at.
Yeah, and I don't. There was a person injured, wasn't there?
Sad to say, John, I think there was a fatality.
Okay, all right. So that's the framework with which we are addressing, you know, these issues, and that's sort of the risk that's presented by the city. You know, heaven forbid anybody would, you know, be injured by a falling brick or right. something. And I know that there's a lot of folks in town that believe, oh, they're not going to fall down, right? And if they fall down, they're not going to fall out. Well, you know, that's sort of not the risk tolerance that we can take when we're presented with the structural reports.
Mm-hmm. Those buildings date back to about the turn of the 19th or the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So those buildings are old.
Coulter's had been, I think, in its origin, either a saddle shop or a movie theater, I believe. Maybe in a very early movie
theater. I think saddle is, well, yeah. There were two theaters downtown.
Yeah.
Across the street was the Isis, where, well, the Mexican restaurant store is located now. And of course, Webster Theater's been there since the turn of the century, in the 20th century.
Yep. So there you go. So yes, funds for these buildings can be drawn from the Urban Renewal District.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking with John Herrenstein, city manager for the city of Webster City, about last night's city council meeting. What else was covered last night?
That was all. Everything's happy and tidy in town.
I know there was a presentation too with Audie Maxey
from
Ames Regional Economic Alliance, and also the Hamilton County Economic Group. There's a new website now, what he was saying.
Yeah, we had a nice event, was it last week, Pat, where they came up and did a presentation. Had about 50 people there for a breakfast, discussed regionalism and regional economic growth. Audie then came to the meeting last night and gave a report on a lot of different things that group is accomplishing. You know, he mentioned on the tax credits, I think I mentioned that on our last show, the housing development behind the Van Deese Medical Center was awarded $1.1 million in workforce housing tax credits from the state. And the group's also working with Ellsworth to complete a comprehensive land use plan. And then gave some updates on the certified site, which we believe is going to be completed in a month or so. That's around 700 acres south of the interstate that will be able to be marketed for industrial growth.
They talked about that last week at the city council meeting there in Ellsworth on this project. And I think Ellsworth has something with Iowa State University. They're doing some studies there too.
Iowa State University has some services that will provide assistance to communities of that size, complete things like comprehensive plans.
That's good.
Yeah.
And we have, let's see, that was also covered last night with Audie Maxey from the
Hamilton County Growth Partnership.
Hamilton County Growth Partnership. And they're coming back in December there, John, to talk about regional economic programs. And they have a very special speaker, I understand, from the Iowa Economic Alliance Group.
Debbie Durham's going to actually be coming. I don't know which meeting that is, but
that's on December the 11th, from what Audie was saying.
She's the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority,
right?
And has been, you know, I think incredibly effective in that position, and certainly a willing partner to Webster City on a lot of different areas like catalyst grants and these workforce housing tax credits. Yeah, so we appreciate their support.
Yep, coming up on December 11th. Is that here in Webster City there, John?
Or? Yes, it will be out at the Briggs Woods Conference Center.
Mm-hmm. Very good place. So that's coming up December the 11th, and more information will be forthcoming very soon for that. So what else is new in Webster City?
I'm drawing a blank, Pat, which is a rarity for me.
Oh.
But, you know, maybe that's a good thing. We've had a busy summer.
Yes, we've had. Now we got the elections coming up, too.
Yeah, elections are coming up, so everybody please go out and vote on November 4th.
Yes.
That's coming up, and I know that there's what do we have, vacancy? We've got city council, we've got school board, and some of the other smaller boards, right?
Yeah.
Fuller Hall
and Kendall Young Library.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are, I mean, these are critical organizations that are serving the residents, so please take time out of your day to go vote and participate in the process.
Polls are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 4th, which is 2 weeks from today. Right. And if anyone has any questions, If you call the Hamilton County office for Kim Shea, it's 832-9510, 832-9510, if people want to find out more about the election coming up. And there's only one place, I believe, they're doing the voting. That's at the Prince Building.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Everybody goes to the Prince Building to vote.
That's what I find out anyway.
Well, turnout, unfortunately, is a little lower in these off, you know, election cycles, so they probably can accommodate everybody.
Well, I think the Webster City election should be interesting because we have four city council candidates are running this
year. Want to thank Logan Welch and Matt McKinney for their service. 12 years is a long time on the city council.
Right.
They've certainly been through a lot of different issues, helped guide that wastewater plant and really babied that. And, you know, we're on the final stretch of that.
Which was my next question there.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
About wastewater plant.
What do you know?
I mean, do they have the groundbreaking? Is that coming up next year, John? Or?
Yep. So a few meetings ago, we decided to hire a construction manager for the project. The council authorized that. We're in the middle of doing RFPs for those services, and then a committee of the mayor, myself, the engineer involved in the project, our water superintendent, and Megan McFarland from the council. We're going to be interviewing these firms and bringing a recommendation to the council for selection. Likely, design will be completed, I'm hoping, by February of 2026, and maybe we can get it out to bid with potential groundbreaking this fall.
Next fall.
Yep, next fall.
Next fall, it'll be in 2026 for that. That'll be big plus for Webster City because the current one dates back to what, back in the late 1930s?
Yes. It
about 88 years ago.
You know, it was built in the 30s and then it was remodeled, I think, in the 90s. And then there might have been a little bit of upgrades. I think they replaced the clarifier sometime in the 2000s. But it's in need of significant upgrades and, you know, at least we've got size down that it'll fit within the existing rate structure. We're estimating about $30
million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, groundbreaking scheduled for next fall in Webster City. With the do we have a goal for that? What is
fingers
it,
crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
For what, 2028 there, John, for this completion for the wastewater
It'll be about I think it'll take them all of 2 years to finish it.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be, you know, I would imagine end of 28, maybe spring of 29, it'll be.
Completed by then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anything else coming up down the road? Another city council meeting?
Well,
on
we got
the day
Christmas in the city.
Yes.
We're going to get a group together to talk a little bit about downtown. I think those meetings are scheduled November maybe 3rd and 4th, or I don't remember, but there's some you know, downtown business owners interested in what maybe the plan is for that area. So we're going to have sort of a roundtable discussion about that. You know, youth sports at Fuller Hall are kicking off. So we've got youth volleyball and basketball. Sort of an interesting program with the youth basketball, this program. This year, we're partnering with Marty McKinney, who's the girls basketball coach, and there's going to be a recreational option the first 6 weeks starting in the fall here. And then there'll actually be an opportunity for youth that want to play in tournaments to come back for round two of that program if they want. And they'll be able to play at the competitive level. So that's K through 6 is what I believe that program covers.
Very good. So that'll be a big time for Webster City. Of course, a search is now on to find a new chamber director for Webster City because this week is the last one for Anna Woodward before she begins her task over at IC, Iowa Central.
I've never heard it referred to as
that. I've heard that a couple times there, John.
I don't know that President Ulrich would appreciate it. What either. Is that what people are calling it now?
No. I know it's short. It's short in a way.
I'll start doing that. Anyway, Anna completed a great tenure at the Chamber of Commerce, really instrumental in getting Market Nights off the ground and doing some other programs there, like the gala that you presided over last fall.
But we're not going
to
do it.
Unfortunately, just not enough interest to do it again this year.
Yeah.
But anyway, congratulations to her on her new appointment. And, you know, I think there'll be interesting times for the Chamber ahead, a lot of opportunities, a lot of ideas for partnership with other entities to position that organization to really serve the businesses that are its members.
Yes, and I know that we wish Anna all the very best
in
the future. Of course, we have this trick-or-treat time coming up, too.
Always an exciting time. Remember to stay safe when you're walking on the roads and the sidewalks.
Yes.
And, you know, keep an eye on the kiddos. Don't want any accidents. But yeah, that's it'll be coming up. I know. I think I saw some costumes over at the house.
Oh, good. And the trick or treating downtown and the businesses in Webster City will be this Friday, the 23rd.
Yep.
No, 24th. 24th. No, 23rd. Thursday, the 23rd. Thursday, the 23rd, from 4 until 6. And then the residential trick or treating in Webster City will be held that Friday, the 31st.
Yes.
That's because in the past 2 years they've done it on a Saturday, but Halloween is on a Friday night this year.
Yes.
And then next year it'll be back on a Saturday night too, because that's
yep.
31st.
And there's lots of candy down at City Hall, so I encourage people
good.
To come down and get it.
Yeah, coming up on Thursday. Anything else for the good of the cause there?
It's always a pleasure to visit with you, Pat.
Absolutely,
thank
John.
You for having me on.
And we'll have you back on again on Tuesday, the 4th, Election Day.
Election Day.
Because there's a city council meeting on the 3rd, so we'll do it again.
We'll do another cattle call to get the voters out.
There you go. There you go. John Herrenstein, city manager, joining us on this Tuesday morning. John, thanks very much.
Thank you.